Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Here to all of you again, and again, I hope this will be a blessed new year for you and your family, for our church here. I'm looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in this new year of 2026. Can you believe it's 2026? You made it. Hallelujah. You made it in the name of Jesus. He brought you through another year, and we're looking forward to this new season of new opportunities of what God is going to do to help us to carry out His mission for this local church. And that mission, I want you to see it on the screen here, that mission, these opportunities that God is going to give us to carry out this mission is the mission of being a praying church, that we would be a praying church that loves God and loves all people, that this church here would have opportunities this upcoming new season of being a place of hope for anybody from anywhere. And there would be opportunities into this new season that we would have a chance to reflect Jesus by seeking the lost and serving those that are suffering and sharing life together so we can all grow spiritually. And I am believing God and praying to God along with you that the Lord would open up more opportunities for us to carry out His mission for His church. Can we believe for that? Can we trust God to do that? I can tell you right now, friend, I want Him to do that in this church. I want Him to do that in your personal life. And I want us to believe God, because whatever God does, it's going to be good because God is good. So we can trust Him into this new year. And one of the reasons that I am so excited about this new year is I feel like the Lord has been directing me over the last several weeks to preach to you a series that I am calling The Bible Says. The Bible Says. Some of you that are more familiar with Dr. Billy Graham, you may remember many of his messages that he preaches. You would hear him say frequently, "The Bible says, the Bible says." And today, if there's ever been a time that we need to know what the Bible says, it's the day that we're living in right now. We're living in a time, hear me now, we're living in a time that the Bible is being disregarded by our culture and sadly even some of our churches. That the Bible is being disregarded by culture and even churches. And because of that disregard of the Bible, we see the evidence and the results in our culture now where our society is calling evil good and good evil. And in the last days, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a falling away from truth. And that truth is the Bible, God's Word. It says there's going to be a falling away, that the enemy is going to come in, and we already see this happening, where the enemy will come in and he will work in a way to try to deconstruct your faith. What the foundation that has already been built, the enemy is going to come in and he's going to try to deconstruct those things and make you doubt God's Word, the Bible. The enemy is going to attempt to come in during these last days, and he will attempt to twist God's Word. So when he twists the Word, and you would hopefully, through what he would do in his mission, would be to twist your theology of what you believe about God. And the enemy will do that in a way to cause you to waver in your faith, to lose your spiritual convictions over your life, to hope, this is what his hope is, to get you to a place where you will say, "Does the Bible really say that?" To make you doubt and also to deconstruct your faith. And so it's very vital that we need to We need to learn the Bible so we can live the Bible. We need to learn. Listen, we need to love the Bible. We need to learn the Bible, and we need to live the Bible, even if you don't like what the Bible says. That is our authority. That is our spiritual compass right here that directs us in our life. God's word, the Bible says. And we need to make sure that we love it, we learn it, we live it, even if we don't like it. The great church historian Augustine, he said these words here. He says, if you believe what you like in the Bible and reject what you don't like, it's not the Bible you believe, but yourself. We need to make sure that we believe the Bible. We love it, we learn it, and we live it, even if we don't like what it says. And the Bible, this series, the Bible says that God put on my heart, it really started over a month or so ago when I was reading in my own personal time, not preparing for a message, just my own personal spiritual growth. While I was reading, I came across this passage, and when I came across it, it really, the Holy Spirit just struck a nerve in me and just moved me to begin praying this over my boys, Caden and Lucas, over my wife, over myself. And then I began to pray it over you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, your sons and daughters that God has entrusted me to pastor here, this flock. God began to inspire me to pray this passage over you. And it's found, this is where it all started at, was in 3 John, I'm going to have it on the screen, chapter 1. There's only one chapter, and it goes from verse 1 to verse 4. And this is what the Bible says. Listen to this. This is what God inspired me to read and to pray over you and over my family. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health. I mean, you know, that's a good prayer to pray for somebody right there. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. And here it is in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. How many of you could say amen to that? Amen. And that's right there is where the Holy Spirit just struck a nerve with me, and I began to stop and began to pray over my family, my boys, and over the sons and daughters of this church here, each and every one of you. And I have no greater joy. Listen, I will have no greater joy than to know that sons and daughters of God that are in this house of God are walking in the truth. That you're walking in the truth. You're not disregarding the truth. You're not falling away from the truth, but you know, you love the Bible, you live the Bible, and you know what the Bible says. So today, on this first Sunday of the new year, I want to preach to you what the Bible says about fasting, I want to preach to you what the Bible says about fasting, because there's a lot of misconceptions about fasting. And we need to know, because today, in case you didn't know, today at sundown, our church begins a 21-day fasting time where we're seeking God and trusting God. And those 21 days, it will end on January the 25th at sundown, and we will finish that night off with a night of worship service here. And I am asking you, I am encouraging you, to please engage over these next 21 days, all of you that are connected to this church, that you would pray and that you would fast for the next 21 days. I know it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. Amen. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. In fact, I describe fasting like this right here. Fasting is like a journey. Fasting is a spiritual journey. If you've ever been on a road trip before, and you're going to a destination where, man, you're just looking forward to getting there. You know it's going to be fun. You know it's going to be awesome, but it's going to be a long drive. And you dread to drive. Has anybody ever been there before? You want to go somewhere, but you just dread to drive. And that's kind of how I feel about fasting. I'm looking forward to getting to the end of it, but I dread to drive getting there. Because there's going to be some sacrifice and some surrender along the way. And fasting is like that. We dread to drive, but it's going to be worth it when we get to the end. There's going to be a spiritual purpose that is being revealed in our life. There's going to be spiritual growth that's going to happen in our life. And it's going to be worth it, friend. Take the journey because it's going to be worth it for these next 21 days. So what does the Bible say about fasting? There's a lot of misconceptions about it, so we need to know this, that fasting is not a way for you to twist God's arm for him to do something for you. That's not fasting. Fasting is not for you to publicize to the people around you to make yourself seem like you're some greater spiritual person than they are. And fasting, hear me on this right now, fasting is not a diet plan. If you lose a few pounds along the way, praise God. We all need to lose a few pounds. But that is not what fasting is. Fasting is not a diet plan. In fact, the word fast or fasting, it actually means to cover your mouth and not eat. It means to cover your mouth and not eat. And Bible fasting is fasting food so we can feast on Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, "Whoever feeds on me will live." And fasting is about you feasting on Christ. What does that mean? Just spending time with Jesus in the Word. Spending time with Jesus in prayer. Spending time with Jesus in fellowship. Drawing near to him. Feasting on Christ instead of feasting on food. And the Bible is full of people who fasted. Moses fasted as the people of God began to worship a golden calf and got into mixed up in idolatry. Moses went on a 40-day fast. Esther, she fasted for protection, for deliverance for God's people. We see in the word Daniel fasted that he would stay spiritually pure and not cave in to the perversion going on around him in his culture. We see Jesus fasting as he launched out into ministry. They all fasted for different reasons and in different ways. And over the next 21 days, hear me please. Over the next 21 days, I am encouraging you to engage in this fast. And I would encourage you to engage in a Daniel fast, which is a partial fast. Daniel, when he fasted away from the king's delicacies and the king's meats. And basically, Daniel ate fruits and he ate vegetables and he drank water. And a partial fast is what the Daniel fast is. And that's what we encourage everyone to do here for these next 21 days, that you would fast certain foods at possibly certain times of the day. I know some of you, it requires you to eat because you have to take medicines and maybe your job requires you to have a lot of energy. But to be sure, there's something, some kind of food that you can fast during these next 21 days. And if not, you can. There's some great information by Elmer Towns that reminds us that there's certain pleasures that we can also fast. Maybe it's social media. I don't know what it may be, but there's some things that maybe bring pleasure to you that you could also fast along the way. But the true fast would be fasting, no meats, no sweets, eating mainly fruits and vegetables, drinking water and juice. But here's the point. Whatever God puts on your heart to fast, just do it. And I can assure you this, that the Bible says that when you fast, God is going to show up. God is going to move in a powerful way. When you fast, you're going to see the hand of God move in your life, and we're going to see the hand of God move in this church. So whatever you do, whatever God puts on your heart, just obey the Lord and fast for the next 21 days. The Bible says that God expects us to fast. He expects us to fast. There's a lot of misconceptions that, well, we don't need to fast. We can just pray, but we know. Excuse me, there's a little piece of paper up here. It's driving me crazy. Lord, help me. The Bible says that God expects us to fast. Jesus said these words here, and this is kind of what caught me while I was studying these last 2 weeks on fasting. In Matthew 6, read it, Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18, Jesus said these words right here. He says, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. So he's expecting us as God's people to fast. And he says this right here: when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces and to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. Now, some translations say there, comb your hair, but I like this one better. Put oil on your head. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, give me just a few minutes here, and let's talk about the blessings, what the Bible says about fasting. The Bible says that fasting will bring release. Write that word down. This is going to be the year of release for you, for this church. The Bible says that fasting brings release. When you fast, there is going to be a spiritual release that's going to happen in your life. There are some things that we have attached to us sometimes that are from the enemy, that are strongholds and bondages that are not going to be released off of you or released off of the person that you love and care for until you start fasting. Those attachments, those works of darkness, those attacks of the enemy, they're not going to be released off of you until you get serious about fasting. The Bible says in Mark 29, you remember this, there was a father who had a young son who was he had this evil spirit attached to him that was attacking him, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. And the father finally got to Jesus, and Jesus released this boy from this demonic attachment off of his life. And the disciples went to Jesus later and says, why couldn't we pray and see that release done on that boy's life? And you remember what Jesus taught him. He says, there's some things that only come out when we fast and pray. There's some things that are only going to be broken off of you, released off of you when you fast. And the Bible says when you fast, some things will come out of you or come out of a loved one. Some things will break off of them. There will be a release. Fasting releases people from sins. Fasting releases people from addictions of alcohol and cocaine and pills or whatever it may be. Fasting releases people from pride and prejudice and anger and resentment and bitterness. Fasting releases people from stress and worry and fear and depression. Fasting releases people from evil attachments and attacks on their life. I wonder if there's some things this morning that have attached themselves to you and you need to see God do a release and break them off of you. Jesus, he rebuked that evil spirit, and he said to that evil spirit, he says, I command you to come out. He says, I command you to come out and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out, and the spirit took the boy and convulsed him greatly and came out of him. And some of you that are here this morning, you're in the same situation as this father and this son. There's some things in your life or things in somebody's life that is close to you, and they are in captivity. This evil work has attached itself to them. It is attacking them. And when you fast, you're willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to see the hand of God move upon them or move upon your life to bring that release. How many, I wonder here today, know somebody that has this work of darkness that has attached itself to somebody you love or even to yourself, and you need God to release them? You're willing to pray because you know God is the only one that can set them free. You need to fast because you know God is the only one that can bring that out of them. You need to fast because you know God is the only one that can break this attachment off of their life. This is going to be the year of release in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that fasting brings release, and the Bible also says fasting brings restoration. Write it down. That this would be the year of restoration. The year of restoration. In the book of Joel, in Joel chapter 2, verse 15, the people of God have drifted away from God. They have drifted away from God. They have just rebelled against God. They have fallen into idolatry. there is a remnant of people there that still have a heart for God. But God says to them, listen, you need to come to me in repentance, but don't tear your clothes, tear your heart. Tear your heart. And he tells Joel, he says, Joel, I want you to call for a fast. And so Joel, in verse 15, the Lord says that they blew the trumpet in Zion and declared a holy fast, and they called together a sacred assembly. And because they began to fast, we find later in verse 25 the results of this fast. And here we see the Lord say in verse 25, he says, because you have fasted, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Man, that's a good word right there. That the God that we serve, when you fast, the Bible says that God will restore the years. God will restore the years. You may be here, listen to me please, you may be here on this first Sunday of the new year, and the enemy has stolen some things from your life this past year. He's stolen some things from you. The enemy has stolen your hope. He's stolen your joy. He's stolen your peace. He's stolen your dreams, your purpose. He's stolen your first fire for God. He's stolen your health. He's stolen your wealth. He may have stolen your marriage. He may have stolen your family, some of your children or a parent or whatever it may be. And you need the Lord to restore some things that the devil has taken from you. And the Bible says that when you fast, God will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Hallelujah. He will bring restoration in your life. You can fast and see, let this be the year as we fast, that this be the year of restoration for our families and for situations. Fast and see God restore your fire. Fast and see God restore your hope. And fast and see God restore the joy of your salvation. Some of you need that joy back again. Some of you need that fire back again. That first love that you once had. Where's it at? I don't know. But if you'll fast, God can restore that love, that fire back in you. Come on. Hello. We need to fast and see God restore our health and our wealth, and see God restore our marriages and our relationships and our families. Let me just make an announcement to you in 2026. Our God is a God of restoration. Our God is in the restoring business. Hallelujah. He's in the restoring business. And what the devil has broke up all into pieces, our God can put it back together when we fast. Hallelujah. That was the case for this father and son, because to that father and that son, it appeared to be broken beyond repair. And that might be your outlook this morning. It seems too broken beyond repair. I want to remind you that when the devil comes your way and he begins to tell you that it's too broken for repair, that he is a liar. Hallelujah. Jesus is our restorer. Can I remind you this morning, when the doctors tell you that you're too broken in your body for any kind of repair, Jesus is our restorer. Can I remind you this morning, if there's a relationship in your family or in your friendships that seems broken beyond repair, can I remind you that Jesus can restore any relationship. He can put it all back together for his glory. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. This father and son had their life all broke up by the enemy until they got to Jesus. Until they got to Jesus. And that's what we need to do there in this 21 days of prayer and fasting. As we fast, we get near to Jesus for him to restore our impossible situations. The Bible says that God will do a work of restoration. He will restore the years. Can I tell you, there's been a lot of years in my life that the enemy had stole from me, some things the enemy had stole from me, but I have seen God restore those things and put it all back together. How many of you can testify to that right now in your own life? Come on, wave your hand. He's done that for me. He's done that for you. To God be the glory. Praise God. This be the year of restoration. The Bible also says, as we get ready to close here, that the Bible says fasting brings reward. Write that word down, reward. This be the year of spiritual reward from God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, I read it to you a while ago in verse 18. He says, when you fast, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Hebrews 11:6 says that God will reward those who seek after him. For those who seek God through fasting and prayer, can I tell you this morning that there's going to be a reward? I know you dread to drive. I know, listen, on the spiritual journey of fasting, I know you dread to drive. We were sitting there last night around our kitchen table, and we were talking, and my oldest son, Kane's like, oh, no. You know, nobody's looking forward to the fast. I mean, come on, no chocolate, oh, Lord. We dread the drive, but the drive's going to be worth it because there's going to be a spiritual reward at the end. There's going to be a spiritual reward because we're seeking after God as we fast. The Lord's going to, listen to me, I declare this over this house right now, over your life. The Lord is going to reward you with more of his presence. The Lord is going to reward you with more of his power. The Lord is going to reward you with more of his protection, more of his provision. The Lord is going to reward you with more of his blessings, reward you with more of his miracles. He's going to reward you with a personal revival inside of your life. He's going to reward you with more of an anointing on your life. He's going to reward you with more of the favor of God on your life. He's going to reward you, friend. He's going to reward you with wisdom and guidance as you walk into a new season of your life. God, he is a rewarder of those that will seek after him. And he is going to, come on, he's going to reward you as you take this journey of fasting in the name of Jesus. We can expect God in 2026 to open the door of more rewards. Can I tell you this? Don't put no limit on what God can do. Some of you with our finite minds, and we think, well, there's no way God could do this. Listen, don't put any limits on what God can do. He's able to do all things. Nothing's too hard for him. In fact, the Bible says he's able to do far above what we could ever even ask or imagine. The Bible says when you fast, that you're preparing and positioning your heart, yourself, to receive rewards from an all-powerful, all-knowing God. Fasting is a sacrifice and a surrender in the physical so we can see God move in the spiritual. And it's going to require surrender. It's going to require sacrifice. And whatever you're praying for as you go into this new year, you need to remember this, that God is a rewarder over those that seek him. And some of you are praying for loved ones to be saved. The Lord is going to reward you. Some of you are praying for a loved one to be delivered from some kind of dark attachment on their life that is attacking them and causing them to do things they wouldn't normally do. God is going to reward you. Don't you give up. Some of you are praying for healing in your body. The Lord is going to reward you. Some of you are praying to conceive a child. The Lord is going to reward you. Some of you are praying for God to give you a job. The Lord is going to reward you. Some of you need guidance and direction for the next season of your life. The Lord is going to reward you. Some of you need endurance to keep going and keep walking out your faith. The Lord is going to reward you. The Lord is going to do something only he can do. And he's going to get all the glory because of this journey we're on called fasting. The Bible says some things only come by fasting and prayer. Pastor Kevin, if you guys will come, please. Thank you. I want to ask you this question before we pray. Let me ask you what it is that you need God to do. What do you need God to do? What do you need God to do in you? What do you need God to do through you? Can I just encourage you over these next 21 days to ask God to evaluate your own heart and that you would be open and receptive to whatever it is God wants to do, that you even may make a spiritual journal as you go on this journey, and that you would take this journey and make sure you're taking it in the Word of God, in prayer, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and that you would be open to whatever it is that God wants to do in you and through you. But can I tell you this? When you make that your desire, can I tell you this? That whatever you have in mind, God has something in mind too. And what you have in mind not be what God has in mind. Well, I don't like that. Well, I can't help you don't like that. I want God's will to be done. And one more thing to remind you of too. That when you pray and you fast over these next 21 days and the 21 days is up and you're like, nothing's happened. It's the same old thing. Nothing's happened. Can I just tell you this right here? You have your timeline and God has his timeline. All you can do is just be ready and receptive and position yourself and prepare yourself for whatever it is that God wants to do in your life over these next 21 days going into this new year. And you got to know this, that this is going to be the year. I say it for this church, and when I say church, I'm talking about you and you and you, everybody here. This is going to be the year of release. Yes. Release. In the name of Jesus. The evil attachment, the dark attachment that keeps attacking your life, it's going to be broke off this year. It's going to come out of you, and you're going to walk in a release this year in the name of Jesus. I'm praying that for my own life. I declare it over this house today in the name of Jesus. That this be the year of restoration, that what the enemy has eaten away and taken from you, stolen from you, that this would be the year of restoration, that God would build it back. And when God builds it back, it's going to be a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
A lot greater. And he's going to get all the glory for it. He's going to get all the glory for it. And let this be the year of rewards. That the things that you're praying for and seeking for, you're going to see God do far above what you ever could have asked or imagined. God's going to pour out his blessing. God's going to pour out his miracles. God's going to pour out his favor, his provision. God is going to reward us.
Yes.
Not because we deserve it. Because he's a God of grace.
That's right.
He's a God of mercy.
Thank you, Father.
Would you do me a favor and stand with me right there where you are?
This
is not the time to grab your jacket or grab your pocketbook. Just stand right there in the presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, friend, it all starts right here. It all starts right here on this Sunday. And the very first step that you need to make into this new season is to make sure that you are a Christian, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That you know, not a hope-so, but a know-so salvation, that you know that you are on your way to heaven, that your sins are forgiven. And the way you do that is by repenting. That means turning away from sin and receiving Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord. For we have all sinned and we need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. And if you, right there where you are, would just call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Put your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. He will save you. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, do that right here. Do it right now. Just repent and receive Christ. I want you just to close your eyes right there where you are and just begin to pray. And if you need to pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to ask for forgiveness of your sins, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody looking around, but would you have the boldness on this first Sunday of the new year and say, this is me, and I know you're speaking to me, and raise your hand high so I can pray for you. Would you do that right now? If there's anyone here that would like to make that commitment to Christ, would you be bold enough to say, that's me? Pray for me, preacher. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Lord, speak to your people right here in this moment. There's somebody here that needs to be released. Some things need to come out of them and break off of them. Some attachments right now in their life. If that's you and you need some things broken off, or maybe you know a loved one that needs some things broken off of them and they would experience a release in their life, would you raise your hand and say, that's me? God help me. God help you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're here this morning and you need God to release some things, some attachments and attacks off of somebody you love, or if you need God to restore some things in your life, in your family, in your health, in your wealth, or if you need God to just pour out his rewards on you, I want you to do me a favor and I want you to step out, and as many as you that can, I want you to come to this altar on this first Sunday of the new year. Let's pack this altar right now. Come on, step out. Come on. I need release. I need restoration. I need rewards. Come on. I'm seeking God. I am pouring my heart out to God. And I'm going to believe this upcoming year that God is going to be faithful and God is going to make a way. Come on, friend. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you know somebody that needs to be delivered from something. Maybe you've seen some brokenness in your home, in your relationships. God can put it back together right now. I want you just to come around this altar and I want you just to begin to call on the Lord and pray to God.